Good afternoon, Muskegon. Welcome to Torn to Two. Can you believe it's December the 1st, 2023? Hi, I'm your host, Gregory T. Roberts. Just some housekeeping news. If you are listening to this show and you need to watch it and can get to a computer or your phone and pull over, go to WUVS 103.7 The Beat or M106 Facebook sites. And you can get involved in this conversation. I guarantee you, you're not going to want to miss this show. Also, if you want to share, share it to your Facebook page, because women, you need to hear this message today, and men, you need to hear it as well. Let me get my co-host in. What's going on, Pastor Melvin Burns, the twins?
Hey, my brother, how you doing?
Good. So much news to go.
Yeah, a lot going on in the world.
Would you share the weather while I am sharing this? Like, I want you to share it to your page.
Okay. All right. Well, we're in December now, so we're having December weather. High tomorrow, only around 40 degree. High Sunday, 39 degrees with an 80% chance of precipitation. Monday, low 33, high 40. Tuesday, more precipitation, low 33, high 42. Wednesday, low 30, high 39. And Thursday, low 36, high 43. So we got some 40s, not too bad for early December weather.
Okay, a couple things that we got to hit on like really quick. First of all, we got to thank the West Michigan Health Network and all the volunteers for Thanksgiving, for everybody that came and passed out turkeys. We took that time off to be with our families, and we have to really just take the opportunity to thank those individuals. Also, we had somebody in Muskegon Heights, Corinne, at Corinne's Cake, that fed over 600 people.
Yes.
And that fed the community. Thank you. That's what being in the community is all about. Speaking of being in the community, we have to say congratulations, Big Reds, for winning the state championship. What a great, great victory they had.
Yes.
And now we got some news that there's some unfortunate news that we have to share. And the first thing is Sandra Day O'Connor, that the first woman to serve on the Supreme Court, passed away at 93. That a lot of women inspired just by her being there.
Yes.
Now you look how many women we have on the Supreme Court. So we have to acknowledge her today.
Yes, definitely.
But we also have to acknowledge Congress, because Congress expelled one of their own at a vote 311-114. GOP Representative George Santos, with ethnic violations, was expelled with a vote 311-114, with 105 Republicans voting for him to leave. So let this be a wake-up call that you cannot act any kind of way in Congress. Anything else?
No, I think that's important. I want to know the 114 that voted for him. But Congress is not big on expelled. I think it's the first one's been expelled. Is that correct?
Well, I tell you what, there need to be more.
Yeah. But, you know, his level rose, I mean, gosh, he took it to a new level.
Oh, so, correct. He took it to a new level. I'm hoping that Congress will wake up and realize that you just can't feed people and lie to people and cheat people.
Yes.
Okay. With that said, we have to get to a guest, and I was talking to her. And let me tell you, sometimes we have people on the show twice. Sometimes we have, you know, but we span the time that we have on. We're going to try to get her on right away. She has a book out, and it's Single and Pretty. And I want to make sure I want to get this Single Pretty, Breaking Up with Fake Love, Fake Friends, and the Nightlife. So she's telling it like a T.I. is. Put your hands together for our sister. And you know what? She's a little nervous. She don't have to be.
Not at all.
Not at all. Tierra Buster, bring it to the stage. How are you doing, sister?
I'm good. Thank y'all so much. I'm so happy to be here and so honored. Thank y'all so much.
Okay, now that I have you on the page, let me do it like I normally do. Put your hands together for our guest, Tierra
Oh my God, thank y'all so much. Melvin, when you said the weather, I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I'm not there right now. Oh, you said 40s and 30s. Oh, yeah. No.
And rain and snow. Now tell people where you're at.
I am in Orlando, Florida, the Sunshine State.
Greg and I will be there next week. We're on our way.
Okay. All right.
We're getting out of here.
Are you coming to my book launch?
Yeah. Hey, you know what? When is it?
It's next Sunday, December 10th.
Paul, you hear that? I need a birthday present. My birthday is next Saturday.
Yeah, December 10th at the Blue Martini. Okay. In Point Orlando, yes, from 4 to 8.
Okay.
I'm gonna send you guys the Eventbrite link so you can get all the information, okay?
Okay.
Please.
You know what? First, tell us a little bit about yourself and then we'll get into the book.
Okay. Well, first of all, my name is Tierra Buster. I am 35 years young. I live in Orlando, Florida. I am a new author of the book, Single and Pretty, Breaking Up with Fake Love, Fake Friends, and a Nightlife. I have been a business owner of my esthetician, eyelash, hair extension business for over almost 9 years now. And God just told me to write a book, and that's what I did. And I'm here to share that outcome with you guys today. So, okay. Yes.
So you write this book, and just looking at some of it, it's very deep, and we need to talk about it.
Okay.
So, let me get this on real quick, because Jeff Gilgo said you need a new governor of Florida. Okay. All right, JJ, we got you. All right. Tierra, you wrote this book.
Yes.
Who did you want to reach when you wrote this book?
So first, when I was writing it, I thought it was just going to be for young ladies. But once I finished the book, and did some deep diving with my publisher, which is Tashana Burrell at 120 Publishing House. We basically both agreed like all women need to hear this, because it's women in their 30s, their 40s, their 50s who've never grown up from that childlike or didn't get the love and attention from their parents. And I just want to show them that God is all of that. God is all of that. So that's what this book is for: every mother, every sister, every aunt, every grandma, every great auntie, every niece, every woman. Yes.
So as soon as I saw some of the stuff in the book, I was like, growing in a household of women, I was texting everybody, you gotta listen to the show today. Yes. You have to listen to the show today. So, Pastor Burns, first question to you.
Start off, Single and Pretty. You know, pretty is not always a word that's in our common vernacular. How did you choose that title?
You know what? That's a good question, Melvin. So, one day, I was writing my book, I was with a lash client, and like I always do, we sit down and we have these conversations, and I was telling her, I was like, I don't know what to call the book. You know, I don't really know the direction. It's talking about my past. I don't know what I should call it. And I was like, all I know about is being single and pretty. And then it was like light bulb went off. Okay. And I was like, that's it. And then it was my publisher who helped me come up with the subtitle after we did a deep dive with the book. And it was just like, you know, we did this thing that was called an ACE, and it was trying to bring out who's your audience and who you want to gravitate to with this and speak to. And I was just like, I want people who love the nightlife and, you know, tired of these crazy fake love relationships and tired of the fake friendships. Like me, I'm a lone wolf at this point. I have my friends, my circle is very small, but I like to do things alone a lot of times. And I like it that way, you know? And, you know, when we broke it all down, she was just like, everything that I said, she put the thing breaking up in front of it. And I was just like, that's it. Like, I broke up with fake love, fake friends, and a nightlife, you know? And I'm just so thankful to God for this revelation, this new place that I'm in right now in my life, and this new journey I'm on, you know?
Okay, let's talk about the book.
Okay, let's do it.
The book, you have some of the chapters. Chapter one, you say, why are you single?
Yes.
I want to stop giving my body to men.
Yes.
Who do not deserve it.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Talk about that.
So, I mean, growing up in a household without a father, right? So let's just start there. I didn't have my dad there, and I didn't know what I was missing from a leadership from a father. Now I do, because God has shown me that. He's shown me my self-worth and my self-respect and how to value myself. And somewhere along the lines, I did not have that guidance growing up. And I just thought whoever showed me some type of affection or attention, they deserved my body.
Mm.
It was just as easy as that. So it got to the point where if I was at a club and I'm drinking and he bought me a drink and he had a good conversation with me, next thing you know, I'm at home with him. Like, why am I here with you, sir? Like, I have no idea. But, you know, so that I went through that cycle for about a good year in my adulthood, and I just didn't want it no more, you know, and that's when I started praying. And then I also talk about in the book of my 7-year celibacy journey. And yeah, so I went on, I just chose God 100% at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about how important it for women to know their self-worth.
Oh, Greg, it's so important. So if you don't value yourself to the standard where, and I always put everything to the standard where God has you. So God values, especially his women, he wants you to be led by a man, you know, he wants you, but a man that's led by God, you know, it's a trifecta type of thing. It's God, man, and then woman. So God, through my singleness right now, God has shown me my value. So no longer do men have access to me the way that they once did. You know, I just don't entertain it. If any time I come into encounter with a man, a guy, a friend, it's always going to be in a platonic way until I feel as though that's who God sent for me. And I, over the last 7 to 8 years, that's how I've been living my life. And your self-worth is tied up in how you value yourself, whether you're going to be in an abusive relationship, whether you're going to let a man talk down to you, whether you're going to show your body on social media just because that's what society says is cool and that's what you said is due. You can look all over social media and just know, like, okay, she's definitely not valuing herself. And I do not come from a place of judgment at all. I just come from me looking in the mirror and taking a hard look at myself and saying, I don't like this person that you've become. You had an excuse when you were in high school, but now you're a grown adult. There's no way that you should be behaving like this. And no wonder why no man has, you know, married you or locked you down or anything like that, is because you don't value yourself. And any man who values themselves, they want a woman also to value themselves. So right now what I'm doing, I've been growing in my singleness and I've just been grooming myself for my husband.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Let's go to question. Go ahead.
From Robin Huff. This is so important and needed for women. Thank you, Robin.
Okay,
from Scottsdale, Arizona. Hey, Robin, how you doing? How important is it, not only for women, but for men to know this?
Yes.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. You know, being an esthetician, I'm sure you're getting there. You talk to a lot of women. Were you finding some common things as you have these conversations with yourself as you talk to women?
Oh, of course. So I talk to, like, my clientele varies from every race, every age. I'm so blessed because literally ever since I started my business, God has sent me all of my clientele. So I get women all walks of life, whether they're married, whether they're divorced, whether they're single, whether they're dating in relationships. And we all have a similarity of self-worth. And I've met some women who, like, they're powerful, you know, like I have some powerful clients. They do their thing. They're in union and unison of their husband and their children, and their households is ran well. And then I have, you know, some other clients who, you know, they're still trying to figure it out. And my whole thing is I'm always praying for them. I'm always praying with them. Mm-hmm. And I can see them all grow. Like, since they've been coming to me, I'm not giving myself the credit, but I know that God has a spiritual anointing where I do my business, which is in my home. I have the luxury to run my business through my home, and they're growing, whether that's breaking off of a marriage or whatever, they're growing in every way possible. So they can, if they can write a comment right now, if they known I was on here right now, they would be on here like, yep, she's telling the truth. So yeah, it never comes from a place of judgment. It comes from a place of, like, reflection of myself and saying, I see you, you know, I was you. And no matter if you have the title of wife or girlfriend or concubine, I don't know what they call it, all the side chick, whatever, you know, all of the different type of names. Like, it's so many names now, for real. It's so many different type of relationships, but it's just, how are you valuing yourself? You know, and that's when you have to really take that long, hard look at yourself in the mirror. And do you like the woman you see? Are you proud of her? If not, it's time to make a change. And that's, you can good. Do that by reading my book, that's Single good. And Pretty.
Chapter 2, You Aimlessly Living. I had to eliminate my distractions and find my purpose.
Yes. Oh, I was out here in these streets, Greg. I was out here in these streets, you know, like it's crazy. And I said it on Paul's show, you know, it wasn't until I woke up in the 33rd precinct here in Orlando, Florida, you know, wig taken off my head. I had braids in my head. I had a DUI driving drunk. And that's when, like, God gave me the biggest spanking of my life, you know. Mm. And I was at a rock bottom place because I didn't know how I was going to pay for that. That fine, if you, I don't know if you have any family members or if you personally dealt with a DUI, they're very expensive. And at that time, I wasn't making enough money to be able to fund that type of penalty, basically. Mm-hmm. It was a penalty on a play or whatever. And so all I can do was just ask God, and I went on a walk with him and I said, God, if you fix this, I'm following you forever. And I'm 10 toes down, I'm 10 toes in, and that's where I've been. That's where my celibacy journey started. That's where my business, She's So Pretty, started. That's where my growth and my self-worth started. Everything is from that one incident.
This show, we talk about transparency.
Yes.
And you're being just wide open. How important is it for people to be transparent about the mistakes that they've made in their life to a generation that needs to know that, yes, we made mistakes, but you too can make those mistakes and get out of them, or don't make the mistakes.
Yes, or don't learn. So one of my biggest things is I talk about in the book of generational curses, you know, the generational curses that stem down from my grandparents to my parents. And I saw it and I thought that I thought I was breaking those generational curses, which I have. But the way that the enemy works, even if you stop those generational curses from coming, that's not going to stop him from coming after you in other ways. So instead of drug addiction and prison and all of that stuff, I still dealt with alcoholism and the nightlife and having fun, You know, mm-hmm. I worked in bars. I've worked in strip clubs. I've worked in, you know, I bartended, waitresses, and so many of these other crazy things. And, you know, put myself in some very, very dangerous situations. But God, you know, mm-hmm. but God have saved me and brought me through it. You know, I've been drugged twice. And by the grace of God, I've always woke up home untouched, unbothered, but really no recollection of what had happened to a certain extent of the night before. And I'm just so thankful when I take a look back at my life to see how he's guided me and how he's never let me go. And he's been chasing after me to just become this version of who you see today, and it's only going to elevate, but this version of who you see today and who is so transparent. Like, I'm so glad that I'm in a situation and I'm in a position now to freely share my story with no shame, you know, no shame, shame and pride. I let that go back in 2016 when I got that DUI. I had to break down. I had to start asking for help. Once I let, oh, I'm doing everything by myself. I can do it. I got it. Don't nobody need to do nothing for me. I'm not asking for all of that. That anger, that bitterness, that gossiping, that fake love, those fake friendships, all of that stuff had to stop. I had to revamp my whole life in order to see the version that God gave me. He gave me it in a vision. And I just was like, you know what? I like that version better. I'm looking at this person in the mirror right here. I don't like her. I like this version over here that you sent him. So I'm going to do everything I need to do to get in position for that. And God is very gentle. He is very kind. He just don't thrust you into anything. And like I'm saying, I've walked this out for 8 years and I'm just here today. But this 8 years have been years of lessons, years of testimony, years of growth, years of spiritual obedience, you know. So yeah, it's a loving place to be in. I'm so happy, and I'm so happy that I'm transparent, and I'm so happy that God has trusted me with this assignment to go around and uplift ladies and encourage them to pursue their passion and to rise above adversity, to elevate their dreams, to trust their journeys, to take time for themselves, all while yearning for wisdom.
Board is blowing up. Questions coming.
This is from Rich 29 Development Thrower. How hard is it to have those conversations without judgment? Is there a subconscious judgment that comes, but you don't let it overrun the goal?
Well, Richard, see, let me tell you a little secret about the way the Holy Spirit work. We don't care. Like, it's, yes, it was a time where I was like, dang, I'm not ready to share that. But the way that God works and the way the Holy Spirit works, he put me in a position to work with women, right? Which is my lash business and hair business. I've been talking to them for years. So he's been putting me in practice this whole time. So now it's just, it vomits out of me with no, like, I don't care. Like, people can try to put a picture or a frame of who I used to be, but who am I now? Like, you can't, God is my director. God is my promoter. God is my everything. So
would you say, once you kind of say that thing that you'd never wanted to say, is a freedom in that? Would you say that?
Oh yes, of course. It's definitely a freedom. But see, my goal is to, so I have like specific people who I'm trying to reach. So God has his people, but I have my people too. And one of my people is my younger sister, right? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to reach her. And I believe with this book, because some of the young ladies with this, I don't know the mentality that they have, that everything has to be like offered to them or given to them, but then they want to be grown adults and don't want to take responsibility or accountability for the things that they're doing in the situations that they're deliberately putting themselves in, but then want to blame the parents and blame other people for their actions, which makes no sense to me at all. But I want to be able to reach my younger sister and just let her know, like, you saw me, you've been with me, you know, if I can change, so can you. And, you know, it's a way that you treat your parents, you know, it's a way that you talk to people. And I just want her to know that it's okay. And God got you if you give it over to him. And I love you. And I'm proud of you. And I can't wait to see you next week. And let's go on this journey together. You know, like I'm ready to see God work miracles in my family. That's what I'm ready to see.
Yeah, support out there. Here's another one.
Okay, from Benita Threadgill. Amen. Walking in your authenticity. Thank you, Benita.
Thank you, Benita.
So the your third chapter.
Oh, what's the third one? Oh, that's the celibacy, right?
Celibacy. Uh-huh. I need to stop messing with blank boys.
Oh, F boys.
Yeah, F boys. Uh-huh. And have control over my hormones.
Yeah, yeah. Because so they don't tell you, or maybe they do tell you, it's like sex is like one of those things. Once you start having it, you can't stop. And but you can. I'm here to witness. You can. 7 years for me, you know. And I would just say, I don't really want to go into too detail. Y'all two men right now, but in the book, like I go into detail of like, you know, people possibly catching STDs and getting unwanted pregnancies, and you just not. I would say just paying attention to who you laying down with. Like these people is dirty. They dirty.
Well,
they dirty, dirty, you know, everything dirty. They ain't been to the doctor in I don't know how long, you know, but just having a conversation with people. When was the last time you got STD tested? That's taboo. It's like, why you want to be in my business? Like, no, that's something that needs to be had. Cause you could have been born with something from your parents. You know, like you could have been born with something and you haven't even went and got checked because you scared to go get a needle or something from the doctor. And even as a female, you know, it's different smells and stuff that we have. It's different pheromones. It's all type of things. So celibacy helped me be able to check my hormone balance and see what's the right thing to eat. What's not the right thing to eat. How is my hormones? How am I smelling like this? Why am I smelling like that? You just all types of things. You know, I go into it in a book, but it's just, it really gets kind of personal, guys.
I want a roughneck.
I don't know nothing about that. I never wanted a roughneck. One of my bank, because I always seen like my mom date, you know, all of these different like drug dealers and all of that type of stuff. So a vow that I made to myself early in life is that I would never date a drug dealer. And that I would never date, what else was it? It was not a drug dealer. Well, let's just say not a drug dealer, because I seen that life all too well. You either get killed, you go to prison for your man, or you just left there and they have a baby and you left there being a single mom. So I was like, I don't want that life, you know, because that's what happened to my mom. That's what happened to a lot of other women in my family and other friends and stuff. So I just, those are one of the things that I said I did not want to be a part of. So luckily a lot of the guys that I thought were like good guys, they still law dogs.
Wow, that's bird. Yeah.
But you are who you attract. Once you know your worth, because I'm not saying all men are dogs, but if you lower your standards and you don't know your worth, then that's what you attract.
Come on now.
Yeah, that's what you
are. Pass the plate because you're preaching good now. Pass the bird.
And you'll say, when you get to the about celibacy, people go, well, you were talking good except to that point. And so I like what you're saying about, you know, approach it from a different way other than a just don't do it, but talk about, you know, how it affects you as a person. But, and that'll be a touch point for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're prepared for that discussion. Oh.
So in my book, I don't tell people that that's what they should do. Mm-hmm. For me, that's what I had to do, because when I was giving myself to men, I didn't realize that it was a thing called soul ties, you know? So their energies attracting on me and me not knowing who I am and why I'm giving myself to them was really messing with me psychologically, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was at one point where I was like, you know what? I need to fix on something and keep on having, you know, a boyfriend or two, or, you know, sleepovers and all of that over here. All of that is just creating confusion. And that is not how God operates. you know, and I didn't want to, I wanted to get out of that state of confusion, and I wanted certainty for myself. And the only way I can do that was take my power back by not giving my vagina away.
The only way
that I can get my power back was not giving my vagina away.
Hold on, we got to go to board. The board is filled up. Okay.
Who y'all got on Linda, this call?
My sister Linda Moore Vine says, love the transparency, educate the young women in your journey.
Thank you, Linda.
And Benita Threga says, truth. Oh, Robin Huff says, wow, you are powerful.
Oh, thank you, Robin. Thank you. Yeah, and all of my stuff is all my own testimony. If you read the book, I'm not telling women what to do. I'm walking you through my journey. So whatever you take from it is what you take from it. But this is what I had to do in order to get right with myself. And your walk is going to be different with God. So whatever God is telling you to do, or whatever you're praying about, or what your situation is what you need to be obedient about. We are two different people, two different stories, two different walks of life or whatever. So this is what I had to do to get my power back. So it's just a platform. It's something that God told me to write. And whoever is supposed to help is who is going to help.
Chapter 4, you said, place God at the center of your life. Make God your love interest.
And that's exactly who he became. I've been dating him for 8 years now.
Because a lot of people, let's talk to those people that, you know, you guys believe in an old God. He doesn't exist. All that kind of stuff. It has nothing to do with relationships. Talk to those people.
I don't know what to say to those people. I don't know how to talk to them about that. That's their business. Yeah, wow. I don't know how to say, like, God is real. God, I'm a living whole testament. God is real. Mm-hmm. The word is real. Bible is real. One of my biggest things now that I do to stay so encouraged and prayed up is I now have like a really big community of Jesus people, you know, people who believe in God, people who believe in Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you know, and that's something that God will do. He will take away all of those distractions of other people who weren't meaning you any good and meeting you any well and trying to see you elevate, you know, like he will surround you around his people who can cultivate you and help you. So I still got my own mind. We all still have our own free will. If I want to go today and start living my life how I used to, I still have that free will. God gives us that. But it's my surrender and obedience that to him that makes me the way that I am, which is why he continues to bless me. You know, he continues to bless me. Like I run my business not like no other. My prices are, I would say, lesser than anybody out here on the market here in Orlando. I would say I just got my dream car. Still don't even know how I'm paying for it. You know what I'm saying? Like I just wrote a book in myself. Like I have no idea how big this is going to go. I always told everybody, like, it's not about the money. This is God's book. This right here is God's book. This is what he told me to put out. So whatever he do to bless me and to bless the other women that's going to come on and read this and going to listen to me speak, then I'm here for you. This is my assignment, so this is what I'm going to be doing. So I'm just thankful that he has raised me up to such a level that I've accepted that assignment and accepted that call, and I'm ready for it. You know, I'm ready for it. And even though I don't know every step of the way, you know, he's guiding me. Every day is a new day, and I'm here for it, but I'm not giving up. I don't care what people may say, what might cause people to have something negative to say. Like, that's not my problem. Like, you want to take that up with the Lord.
Pastor Burns.
Take that up with the Lord. Yeah.
I saw in your media presentation, you talked about living the pretty way. Tell us a little about that.
So the pretty way. So that's what I explained earlier. So that's the acronym for pursuing your passions, rising above adversity, elevating your dreams, taking time for yourself, trusting your journey, because your journey is so important. Everything that you're going through, ladies, is for a reason. So the point of the lesson you need to take from it is whatever that behavior, whatever that action, whatever he's trying to correct you with, is to correct it and learn a lesson throughout your journey versus blaming somebody else or wondering or being depressed or being stressed about why am I in this situation. You have to look to God so you can literally, he will tell you what's the lesson. And if you don't learn your lesson, you're going to keep going in a cycle. And it's going to be year after year after year of the same thing until you realize like, oh, well, I should have, would have, could have a long time ago, you know? Hmm. And yeah.
I have to say this, Pastor Burns, Pastor Burns and myself, we can say we spend so much time counseling people about relationships and loving themselves. And it's just a repeat, like you said, a repeat of cycle that they don't understand that they have to love themselves.
Yes. And it's impossible for you to love somebody else if you don't love yourself.
Hello.
Yeah,
it's impossible. I learned that early too. It like literally it's impossible. And once you start loving yourself, you can literally identify who don't love themselves. And that's literally when you stop behaving a certain type of way. That's when the change starts happening. So it won't happen all of a sudden. Like right now, God is working on me on, he told me I can't drink no more. To drink, you know, he told me I can't drink no more. He took the whole like liquor taste out of my mouth, so I don't drink no more. It's been a month and a half now, because the last networking event I gave myself a limit, no more than two drinks, and I thought I was good until somebody came in wanting to celebrate. And then I had my two drinks and the rest was waters. The next thing you know, I end up having five shots after that. And God said, you can't handle it. You don't know when to stop. You know, like you can compromise yourself in a situation where I'm putting you at, so you can't drink.
How important is it to do what you said is to take inventory of yourself and change what's happening?
It's very important. Well, it all just depends. Like everybody has a different walk. I don't know what everybody else's goal is with God. You know, some people only want God for relationship things, or some people only want God for financial things, or some people only want God to heal their aching bodies. You know, like for me, I want God through it from head to toe. I want him in every area of my life. So when he say do something, I know it's going to be for my good. Because I don't want to be compromised. I can be somewhere at a conference and everybody's, you know, getting drunk, acting crazy. Who knows? I might get drugged again. You know, like who knows? Like, I don't know. I might say something that I'm not supposed to. I might not be able to control my emotions or my temperament once that alcohol, like you can't defeat alcohol. I hope everybody knows that you can't defeat it. And alcohol has been a problem for me since I was 17 years old. Once I went to college, I don't consider myself an alcoholic. I don't think that. It was just I was taught how to use it wrong, if that makes sense. Like as soon as I went to college, it was like everybody get effed up, you know, like, and that's just the way I grew up, thinking that that's how you drink this poison. But liquor is literally poison. And but I'm not trying to deter anybody from drinking. That's my walk. That's what God is doing with me, because I can't be compromised. What he's doing with me and my leadership and where he's trying to put me to, he say you can't drink, so I can't drink.
You got to go to the board, booming.
Robin Huffigan says, we all need to buy this book and buy one for someone as a gift this holiday.
Listen, y'all. So, hey, that's my mom right there. I love you, mom.
Mom, I love you, mom. I love this.
Yes. Y'all know my mom?
No, we just met her. Hi, mom.
Okay,
hi,
mom. So y'all can buy my book at singleandprettybook.com. It's available on there. Thank y'all so much. I really appreciate y'all so much.
Now since we have you, we got to go deeper.
Oh, my God.
Is it rejoicing in adversity, smile through the hate?
Yes. So, okay. So in the book, I kind of describe a scenario in my life where God started separating me from my people. You know, once I made that declaration, that promise to him, he started separating me. So ladies and gentlemen, be careful when you say, God, please reveal to me, no, please take away my distractions, reveal to me who's for me and who's against me, because he will. He will. So the people who I was hanging out with, talking to all the time, he slowly started separating me. I got a job promotion, and instead of hanging out with the people in the office, I'm hanging out with the VPs and the leaders of the company. And once he started separating me, he gave me a different mindset. And I was around leaders that's running a company versus the, I don't want to call them, you know what I'm saying? Like the people that's just at the growing level, you know, at the beginner level. So I had that beginner level mindset. And once he started showing me different, I started elevating because I'm reading more now. I'm reading more self-help books now. I'm reading the Bible more now. So he's just growing me spiritually and through wisdom as well. So I'm hanging out with them. And now everybody, who she thinks she is.
Mm-hmm. Like, so you saw it with the eagles and you ain't pecking with the chickens.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. I started sowing with the eagles. Yes. That's exactly what happened. And they didn't like that because it was just like, you know, when, you know, I don't know if you guys ever had it where managers and stuff, it's a manager meeting. So all that managers disappear and then everybody, you know, oh, they in a meeting. So I got started taking to the meetings. Why she going to the meetings? You know, then they end up back at the office talking. I come back and I'm like, I thought y'all would be happy for me. Like my response is always to be happy for y'all. But no, they weren't happy for me, you know? So I talk about that and just smiling through it because God preps you. He shields you during that time. So even though those daggers are coming, like no weapon formed against you will prosper, okay? So those type of things God protects you from. So it doesn't hurt your heart. It doesn't make you feel some type of way. And he will literally cover you. So yeah, I just talk about that in the book. And it's crazy. But now they look at me and they're just like, can I come and get my lashes done? No. You can come and get your lashes done. I don't block nobody, but.
Well, talk a little bit about that crab mentality, because as you're going up and people are trying to pull you down.
Oh yeah, like they were trying to pull me down. I had a couple of people that was trying to, like they were making false reports about me because, so this is the thing. I was trying to just see where I fit in. I didn't know what God was doing with me at the time. I didn't know I would have promotions ahead of me or anything like that. I just saw that he started separating me. But you have some people who see your potential before you do. Mm-hmm. They see your greatness. They see what you can become. And they see certain people taking a liking of you. And you're just like, I'm just being me. I don't know what's going on. And those people who saw my potential was writing false reports, trying to get me fired, you know, starting rumors saying that I was sleeping with other managers when I was celibate, you know? So it was no way that nobody, I was just like, this is crazy. Like I've been celibate for like 2 years now. So I know I haven't been sleeping with anyone. So it's like, it don't even hurt me, you know, but it hurt a little bit. Cause it's like you're the person who you called your friend, the person who you thought would be happy for you. So that's something that God works with you on too, you know, and how to get over that. And just, you know, you don't criticize those people, you know, you just pray for them because they do not know what they do, you know, that it's just their mentality. And until they give it over to God, they might stay like that for a long time or until some type of revelation might come through, you know, I don't know, death or something like that. I don't know. Some type of accident.
Let me go to the board, and then next question goes to Pastor Burns.
Okay. Linda Moore Vine says, elevation requires separation. Leaders can be lonely. Do it anyway.
Amen.
Yep. And Kenita.
Hey, Kenita. Oh, I remember that was my cheerleader coach. Okay. Hey, Kenita. Yes, I love her.
Okay. You got our board lit up today.
Talisa, I love the support. I love Michigan. I got to come home. But God told me I couldn't come home no more this year. Yeah, he told me I couldn't come home no more this year. Because I'd be out in the streets when I come home. Nah. That's why he said I can't come home. Come home yet. Okay. I ain't strong enough to come home right now. I'd be outside.
Yeah, I like to, you know, and as you talk, you know, you talk about this journey that you're on. I like the way you talk about, even like you say, well, I'm not ready to come home yet. You know, kind of goes with your openness of knowing where you are, how you leave people behind. I just talk about this whole idea of even recognizing you aren't there, you're on a journey.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's just a journey. I really don't know That's the thing about God. Like, he give you like a little bit, and it's just, are you going to be obedient to this one thing? So I have no idea where I'm going to be. So let me just tell you this. So my goal, once he told me in September of 2022 to write the book, I accepted it. I accepted his calling, November. So I moved around my schedule. I cut my work schedule in half starting January, because, you know, November, December, that's a busy season. Mm-hmm. So I cut my schedule in half. So when January started, I needed time to write, right? Mm-hmm. So once that happened, I'm just like, okay, I finished the book in 4 months. God, what do you want me to do now? You know, and I know that everything works on God's timing. And he has literally put me in a position and with the right people at the right, like every day is a surprise. This right here, I got this interview with y'all when y'all messaged me like 2 days ago. What in the world? I had no idea that I was going to be on here, but he prepared me for it. He prepared me for this interview. You know, I've been doing Toastmasters. I don't know if y'all know what Toastmasters is. Doing Toastmasters since January as well. So he had me writing a book, starting Toastmasters, and I don't know, y'all. So yeah, like my goal was to write the book, do Toastmasters, find a publisher, publish the book, and have one speaking engagement. And this is my third speaking engagement. The book is published and the book is written. And now I'm just like, all right, God, now what else? So I'm just letting him open up the floodgates. So now, all my goals have been met already this year.
Speaking of floodgates.
We can't wait until 2024.
Me too, girl.
Dorothy White says, so proud of you.
Hey, Maxine. Oh, y'all done showed out. Y'all got my people on here.
No, you got your people on here.
They didn't come on here for us like that last week.
Oh man.
You literally got this board blown up. I really want you, because we have 12 minutes now. Okay. We gotta have you back, but I really want you. I want to go back and talk, because women going back into generational and doing what their mom did.
Yeah.
What their grandmother did.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that they know, and they repeat the cycle.
Yeah.
How important is it to stop it? I tell my daughters this, or any girl that I coached, just because I hit the trees in the forest don't mean you got to hit them.
Yeah.
How important is that we tell people about that cycle and we break that cycle?
Well, so when it comes to those cycles, well, first off, you got to see what somebody was, like where they're at in their life, because some people were missing mothers and fathers in their lives, you know? So they're starting from straight bare minimum, and whoever they came around kind of like raised them, or society raised them. So sometimes it's kind of hard right now to pinpoint how to tell somebody not to follow in their father's or mother's footsteps. But for me, because I only can speak for me, you know, and you know, you can take what you will from my life, you know, like my mother and father both, you know, spent some time in prison. You know, that's something that I said I did not want to do. And I don't want to follow those footsteps. I don't want to allow those things to affect my life, nor my nieces and my nephew's life that's coming, you know, the generation behind me. So it's really good to break those generational curses. So one of the main things I want people to take from this is get to know your family. Every chance I get, I talk to my great aunts, I talk to my granddad, I talk to my mom, I talk to my uncles. What are y'all dealing with? What are y'all dealing with? Do you got diabetes? Do anybody got breast cancer? Do anybody got tumors or whatever? Because I need to know what I'm up against. You know, like, have you ever been molested? You know, how far down have people been molested in our family or something like that? Like, why does that keep going on? That's a cycle. That is a generational curse. You know, that's an evil spirit that just keeps circulating. So a lot of people, if you don't know your family history, I mean, just by just tag you're it, because you in that position, that's what's going to happen to you if you don't know what's even coming up against you. So I'm very active in spending time with the elders and the matriarchs of my family to figure out, you know, who's depressed, who's doing this, like, why is it this way? What, you know, is it unforgiveness? Let's pray over it. You know, like, let's get some of these things up to the head so you won't carry that no more, and you can break your generational curse off you so it's no longer on your kids or your grandkids. So yeah, those are the type of things that, you know, I try to encourage my family and just talk to them and spend time with them as much as I can, you know?
Let me go back to the board.
Okay.
Miss Kenitha Collins, your Uncle Ricky.
Hey, Uncle Ricky, that's my favorite uncle right there. Hey, Whitebeard. He out here looking like Santa Claus, I bet. His beard whiter than yours, Greg.
Oh, come on now. Come on.
Yeah, he is. His beard whiter than yours.
And looking at, and I want to say the second half of this, because we want to have you on, but I want to talk to you about chapter 8. It says, show up for life, even in uncertainty and struggles, keep showing up.
Yeah. So I think I got a little bit personal when I went back and I started talking about me and my mom's relationship. You know, my mom, she had me at 15 years old. So right now I'm 35, she fit. We ain't number 15 years apart, you know? And I watched her grow up as a kid, have me and my younger brother. And by the age, I think, of 25, she had 3 kids, you know? So I watched her grow up. I watched her try to conquer the world on her shoulders, you know, and fall down. I seen her get back up. I tell her every day, Ma, I know you watching this. You are the strongest woman I know, and I love you so, so much. Because I watched her rise and fall and rise and fall and rise to the woman she is today. And we both had to, during her time in life where she fell, I had to pick up the slack as a mother, you know, mm-hmm. growing up. And that kind of, it hardened me, but that was my journey, you know? Like, you got to trust your journey, because God puts you in these situations for reasons that you don't know, which is going to probably affect you and help you through life later on. And I think I talk about in that chapter, I don't want to give it all away. Y'all about to make me give away the whole
book. Don't give it all away.
Don't make me give away the whole book. But I talk about how we fought for our relationship together. Because it was a point where, you know, it was struggle, struggle, struggle. And then it was like, once I got around another family member of mine, once I moved to Virginia, I start seeing like a lovely family. You know, and I'm like, this is how a family's supposed to, you know, operate. So I started getting mad at my mom, because like, why didn't you do this? You know, like, she did it. Why didn't she do it? So I started blaming her and looking at her as like, I don't want to say like, it wasn't a failure. I feel like she let me down as a parent. But it wasn't until I got a little bit older and I started going through my own trials. And so when I found out that we all got a story and we all fall short. And when I got to that point, I realized I needed my mama. I needed my mama. And I'm getting emotional right now, because I needed her. And she was in a position at the time where she needed me. And we fought for our relationship. And we talked every day. And we rebuilt that thing. So I encourage every young lady and mother, like, fight for your relationship with your daughter. You got to heal yourself so you can be that representative for your daughter. Like, when I see my mom fighting for herself and fighting for her strength and never giving up, that's when I knew that I can defeat anything, you know? Mm-hmm. And she always, my mom, every single, she sent me a Bible. From somewhere, she said, I get a Bible every year, whether it's a birthday or Christmas. I start giving them away to people now. she's sending me little devotionals that I get every week. So I'm like reading all. I'm like, Ma, you keep sending me all this Bible stuff. And we read devotionals to each other every now and again, at least like twice a month. But we always talk about God. We always just try to keep our head focused on on Christ and what he's doing in our lives and how he's blessed us as a union and as a family. So I just can't wait until, you know, my little sister, if you want here, I tagged you. You hear me talking. All right. We'll get you together.
How important is it for women to women to strengthen each other?
Oh, it's so important. Like it's nothing else more important than that. It's important for women to strengthen each other. It's because we need each other. We know how each other think and how each other act. And it's really important for the women in your family. You know, if you can have that type of community. I'm blessed because I have a spiritual family and I have my natural family who I'm also spiritually with as well. You know, so we just. I don't know. I'm so blessed. I just thank God. I'm gonna just get my my great great grandmama Thelma Rose. God bless your soul. You must have set some real. She must have been setting up a lot of blessings up in heaven when she was here on earth, because we got a really really strong family. And no matter what trials or tribulations nobody in my family is going through, anybody that my family's going through, we're gonna stick together. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm so grateful to see that my family is on this show, because I only think I sent it to two people. And now I know my mama done flooded up, sent it to everybody while we done been on here talking. She probably done sent the link to so many people. Oh my God, she plays so much.
Pastor Bird, last question.
So you talked about not knowing what's next. Do you have some expectations of where you think? I mean, you're gonna have your book signing next week. But what's next for you?
So one thing that I do know is next is I have just joined it's called Students for Scholars. Okay. Or Scholars for Students, SOS, Scholars for Students. So what I will be doing is representing and mentoring a mentee young girl coming out of high school, going into 4 years in college. So for 4 years, I will mentor her through her college experience. So I will be there for her for whatever she needs, coaching or mentorship, any type of mentorship. I don't know yet, because this is my first time doing it. And I'm super duper excited about that, to meet whichever young lady gets assigned to me, because we're going to have a time. I've been trying to get back on a college campus and go to some games and, you know what I'm saying? Go to some events. I'm like, I need a reason to go on a college campus. Now I have one. So yeah, I can't wait to meet this next young lady. So I think I will get assigned to her in March or April of next year. So okay. That's something that I am looking forward to.
Give us that plug. How do we get the book? How do we get the information? Yes. How do we find out more about you?
The book, Single and Pretty, Breaking Up with Fake Love, Fake Friends, and a Nightlife, you can find it at my website, singleandprettybook.com.
Say it again.
It's that simple. singleandprettybook.com. And I'll also post it on here.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
There you go. That's the information right there.
Yes.
So listen, people, we need to tell you, if you didn't get a chance or you saw this and you want to revisit it, this interview will, after the stream ends, you to show. Please share this with your loved ones, especially the young ladies out there, because they need to hear what this woman has to say. And we have to have her back on. Any last words that you want to say?
I'm available whenever you're ready for me, Gregory. I really, really enjoyed this. I'm over here hot. You got me hot a little bit. But I'm having a time of my life, especially when my family showed up in the chat. So you guys follow me on Instagram. If you're on Instagram, my Instagram is Tiara_She's So Pretty, which is Tiara_SHISOPRETTY. So I'm trying to get my followers up. So please follow me. I'm posting amazing stuff. And so y'all can see me on my journey. I have no idea what God has for me next. My book launches next week. So if y'all in town, come to that. It's December 10th at Blue Martini Point Orlando. And it's going to be from 4 to 8. And it's going to be fun. It's a whole celebration. I love everyone, and it's going to be good vibes only. So I can't wait to see what's next. We all see. We all surprised. I don't know. We all gonna figure it out.
All right. Tierra Buster, we thank you. Listen, that's the end of the show. Listen, go out and sow a seed in somebody's life. You never know who you can get the chance to touch. Take care. God bless. Share this message, because we're going to have this lady on again soon. I mean, even if we can fit her in next week, because what she has to say is too important for men and women to hear. Take care. God bless. We see you next week.
God bless.
The wait is over. The all-new Umoja Radio Network, home to over 40 black-owned radio stations and podcasts, is here for you. Connect to the world's fastest-growing collection of unapologetically black and proud media, from podcasts to independent black-owned radio stations, and access to the important news and music you need. Umoja Radio is from our culture, by our culture, for our culture. The all-new Umoja Radio is available right now on Google Play and the Apple Store. Join the movement. Be empowered.